Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand, created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
Good morning. I'm Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. In certain circles here in the U.S., there are still debutantes and coming-out parties. Perhaps Sweet 16 parties are more common. In Latin America, however, La Quinceañera is celebrated at a girl's 15th birthday and her coming of age. You may have seen the story in today's Times that there's been a 16% rise of immigrants in American households over the last 5 years, largely due to immigrants from Mexico. So we may well see more quinceañera celebrations here. In addition to weddings and the prom, families go out of their way for the 15th birthday, acquiring gowns, renting limos, and splurging on presents to mark their daughter's rite of passage. Joining me this morning to talk about this celebration are Michelle Salcedo, author of Quinceañera, The Essential Guide to Planning the Perfect Sweet 15 Celebration, published by Henry Holt in 1997, and the co-directors and co-writers of the new film, La Quinceañera, Richard Glatzer and Walsh Schwitz-Moreland. Welcome all.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Andrea.
Michelle, where did this tradition come from? Was it a Spanish tradition?
It is a, the origins are, there's a lot of folklore surrounding the origins. Some people trace it back to the rites of passage of the indigenous people of the Americas. Others trace it back to the Empress Carlotta in mid-19th century Mexico, when she would have coming out parties for the girls who were members of the families of her court. It is traditionally a celebration of a girl's transition to womanhood. There is traditionally not only a social aspect to it, but also a religious aspect to it. And in its best form, it emphasizes the responsibility that is part of growing up, the responsibility of that a young woman will have to her community and to her family.
In the modern world, is it mostly Mexican? Is it all over Latin America? Where do you see this most?
It is, well, in the United States, we see it most in the Mexican community because Mexicans make up the largest portion of Hispanic Americans, but it is a tradition that is carried out throughout Latin America. And in fact, when I was researching the book, there was it was amazing the number of stories that people had about turning 15. And it's not always celebrated with a party. Sometimes it's celebrated with a trip. Sometimes it's celebrated with a car. But there are very few Latin families where that 15th birthday just goes by like any other birthday.
I'm wondering if there's, as immigrant families move to the U.S. and perhaps climb up the economic ladder, if they're becoming more and more elaborate. I know certainly this is true with bar and bat mitzvahs. These teen celebrations rival weddings in the amount of money that is spent on them and the amount of time they take and in the number of people who are invited. Is that something that's happening, or is it sort of been fairly constant?
Well, I think it depends. I think they very much do reflect weddings. The difference being, that a wedding is certainly has much more of a religious aspect to it and certainly a legal aspect to it. A quinceañera is much more of a family and a cultural tradition, and of itself can be very controversial. There are a lot of people who very firmly believe that it is a lavish waste of money, that sometimes families go overboard and in order to impress other family members and to impress their social set. There have been instances where families have really gone all out to and have really extended themselves to give a quinceañera for their daughter, and you know that within the next month, you know, they're overdue on the rent, the telephone hasn't been paid, it ultimately gets disconnected. So there, people can find themselves in financial hardship. So there is that, there is certainly that aspect to it, but it certainly doesn't have to be that way. There are a lot of families who will celebrate a quinceañera for a girl that are, that may be very small, and there is there was a family that I included in the book from Washington Heights, in fact, where the mother had remembered her quinceañera, which had been relatively simple in the Dominican Republic. Her daughter really didn't want a quinceañera. She didn't want any kind of party. She wasn't very popular at school. She was going through those early teen kind of blues. And the mother put together a party, completely surprised her daughter, and her daughter just, she transformed in that night into a young woman who had just a wonderful time and never stopped dancing.
All right, well, that, great. I mean, that is a quinceañera success story.
It can have that magical quality to it.
I'm sure that there... Well, let me throw out the phone number, 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. I'm Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer, and we're talking about quinceañeras with Michelle Salcedo, the author of Quinceañera, The Essential Guide to Planning the Perfect Sweet 15 Celebration. And we are also here with Richard Glatzer and Wash Westmoreland. Oh, I think maybe we're having a little trouble with our phone line. And we have lost our guests, but we hope to have them back. And in the meantime, please give us a call. I'm curious if you had a quinceañera, if you've been to a quinceañera, if you are planning a quinceañera. And Michelle Salcedo was just talking about how it can be a transformative experience. I'm wondering if it is something that can also be a tremendous amount of pressure on a young girl. Okay, Richard Wash, I think we have you back.
Yes.
I understand that you are the inspiration for this was that you were videographers for your neighbor's daughter, quinceañera. Is that correct?
Actually, we were still photographers for our next door neighbor's quinceañera. But we were asked 6 months in advance, you know, will you do the official photography? And we're very honored to be asked. And on the official day, we turned up and we took all the official, you know, photographs of the quinceañera girl and the quinceañera court. So it was a great day.
Is this the first one that you had been to?
Yes, it was the first one that we'd been to, and it was an eye-opening event for us.
So what made you decide that you wanted to turn this into a movie? And the movie has a whole lot more to it than the celebration. I mean, there are themes of gentrification, there are themes of immigrant ascendancy, there's a gay theme. What made your going to this event decide that it would be a good basis for a movie?
Well, I think there were so many aspects of it that were impressive to us, but I think one of them is that it is such a community event. This was not a family with a lot of money next door to us, and it really was an event where their friends and their relatives had all contributed things the way we were. You know, it's called the Padrino system, in which someone sponsors an aspect of the quinceañera. Someone might sponsor the musicians, or someone might sponsor the dress, or, you know, the food or the drink, and so on. And so it seemed like a really wonderful focus for the community. We're also very drawn to the idea of a coming-of-age film, and what better focus for a coming-of-age film than a quinceañera?
We're going to play a little clip now from the film, if you want to set it up. This is a scene where she goes and she moves in with her grandfather, and he starts to show her some of the pictures on his wall. Did you want to add anything to that?
I think that does it.
Okay, let's go now to the clip.
That's your mother and Aunt Sylvia.
No way.
He was just taken out here in the yard when I just moved in. There was nothing here but burnt grass.
That's crazy. Who's that?
That was my mother. Your great-great-grandmother.
She's beautiful.
Dolores Angulo. She had 22 children.
It was the 13th.
Yep. My lucky number. Let me show you some of my brothers. That's Shui, mm-hmm. and Alberto, and Paco. And I forgot his name. God, what's his name? Jorge. Sorry about that, Jorge.
We're talking about quinceañeras with Wash Westmoreland and Richard Glatzer. Glatzer. And I also, I think I misidentified Tio Tomas as the grandfather. He is the great uncle. And you co-wrote and co-directed the film Quinceañera. And we are also speaking to Michelle Salcedo, who is the author of Quinceañera, The Essential Guide to Planning the Perfect Sweet 15 Celebration. Let's talk a little bit about the film in a moment, but I'd like to take a couple of phone calls. Let's go to Garena in West Caldwell. Is that how you pronounce your name?
It's Garena.
Garena.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, you're on WNYC.
Thanks for letting me on. I was very interested in this whole thing because it's viewed so differently within the United States as it is in parts of Mexico. I have a lot of family who lives in Monterrey, Mexico. They're Mexican, and they have their view of the quinceañeras is very much like it's,
when you say it's different, what do you mean?
Well, like the upper class, very highly educated, the people who are doctors and lawyers and all that, they don't have a big party for the quinceañeras. They have it, it's extremely private, and they may go on a trip or something, but they view it as something that the lower class people do with their 15-year-olds.
Let's get a reaction first from Michelle Salcedo. Has that been in your experience in this country? Is it a class issue? Is it sort of the level of celebration have to do with your social class?
I think it depends on how much. I think a lot of it depends on the girl. It is a class issue in Mexico and certainly in other parts of Latin America. But certainly, I mean, in Miami, you have quinceañeras that top $100,000 in their expenses and are really quite lavish. Choreographers are hired for the courts. There are these very dramatic entrances for the quinceañera herself. I think here it much more depends on the girl, whether the girl wants to have a public celebration like that or whether she wants to do something more private with her family.
Well, how about in Los Angeles, Wash Westmoreland and Richard Glatzer? Was it a class issue there so much?
Well, we live in a very working-class neighborhood, and we've certainly seen how incredibly popular quinceañeras are here. You know, I don't think we would dare set ourselves up as any kind of authorities on it. But in our neighborhood, you know, you see very kind of tough street kids who really insist on learning those waltzes, or, you know, girls who put everything in their lives on the line for their quinceañeras. So it does certainly seem to be a very popular working class tradition here.
And the Mexican community in Los Angeles, in Echo Park, where the movie is situated, is a more established Mexican community than the one in New York, which tends to be newer and people really just here from Mexico. I mean, you can see in the movie the generations, the parents speak Spanish, the kids speak English. I mean,
right.
There's this sense of this is a family who's been in the country.
Right. No, it's been a very, you know, heavily Latino neighborhood for a long time here, and you do see different generations, you know, all around us.
Let's take another call. Anna from Newark. Hi, Anna. You're on WNYC.
Yes, how are you? I'm amazed of everything that you had said. I had my first quinceañera in 1972 back in my country of Peru. And I can say that nowadays Peruvians that come here no longer celebrate the quinceañera because they replace it by the 6/16 following the traditions of the United States. And it is very true about the class because I remember I was kind of like from a middle class and my rich cousins went to Europe for the quinceañeras rather than having an awful party. And it was for the people who were quinceañeras at that time, for those of us who weren't like that pretty or popular with boys, it was also a moment to have voice in the party. And personally, I didn't want it because I didn't have too many friends, males.
So you felt it as a form of pressure.
It was a pressure. It was a societal pressure. My parents also, because I was a single. I'm an only child. What am I saying? I'm an only child, and it was a pressure for my parents to do it anyway. I refused. I remember I cried so much the night before, and yet I had to follow the crowd and do the, they hired an orchestra. It was above their means, but they did a nice party.
And how did you feel afterwards?
Well, it's a nice memory to see the pictures, except that I had to end up watching, dancing with my cousin because most of the boys in my party were my family.
Right.
So you throw a rose, it was when you throw the rose to somebody, so my cousin catch it. So I danced with him. And, most quinceañera have illusion that one of these handsome guys is going to dance with you.
All right, Anna, thanks.
That's my experience.
Thanks so much for calling in, Anna. tongue-tied this morning. Richard Glatzer in Wash, Westmoreland. To what extent, it's sort of a mixed experience in the movie. I'm sure in your research, did you feel that this was kind of mixed for the girls going through it?
Well, our impression of it was a very positive one, I have to say. But what we were interested in was a girl having to come of age in a more profound way, I think, than just having to endure a big party, So the main quinceañera girl in our film is somebody who actually finds out that she's pregnant and is rejected by her family and goes through a whole range of emotions before she finally gets to have her quinceañera. And when she does, it's with a kind of pride that she's really been through something and come out the other end. So in our film, I think it really is a kind of triumphant moment.
Let's take one more quick call. Lewis from Long Island. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi, I'm originally from L.A. I grew up in East L.A. My family's Mexican-American, and I have to really say that I think a lot of this quinceañera stuff is being totally, totally hyped. When I went to high school, I don't know a single girl who ever had a quinceañera. My brother, he married this this woman from Scandinavian extraction, and she asked about it, and everybody laughed, and because she had read about it in a book. And I really don't think that it's as big a phenomenon as people are saying.
All right, Lewis, we need to end it there. I want to get a quick response from Michelle Salcedo. Are these quinceañeras overhyped?
I think that there are some communities, and when I say communities, I mean geographical areas, where they are very popular. It's sort of like one girl has one, and then all of their friends have one. It amazed me to find out that quinceañeras are now being celebrated in places like North Carolina and South Carolina, places where the Latino population has traditionally been relatively low, but there are Anglo girls who are part of the court because people are expanding their people are in school now. They have Anglo friends as well as Latino friends. It's a tradition that's expanding. I think there was a while when I grew up, I didn't know anybody who had a quinceañera, but they're very popular, and there's a whole industry out there that is growing as a result of their increasing popularity.
Okay, we need to end it there. Thanks so much to Michelle Salcedo, the author of Quinceañera, The Essential Guide to Planning the Perfect Sweet 15 Celebration.
Thank you, Andrea.
And also to the co-directors and co-writers of the new film La Quinceañera, Richard Glatzer and Wash Westmoreland.
It's been a pleasure, Andrea.
And thanks to everyone who called. When we come back, the female brain.
Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.